Let's return to Matthew. Matthew chapter 6, this time at verse 16. Matthew 6, verse 16, continuing our series on the Sermon on the Mount. Just by way of a reminder, this series, the Sermon on the Mount, is spoken to the disciples who came to Jesus. So this is not a evangelistic sermon. It is more of a teaching sermon given to the disciples who already are united to Christ by faith. How are we to live now that we are members of the kingdom that is coming, or the kingdom above? So Matthew chapter 6, starting at verse 16, and we'll read to verse 18. That's found on page 964. 964, Matthew 6 at verse 16. "And when you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face, that your fasting may not be seen by others, but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you." And that's as far as we're reading here in Matthew 6. We pray for the blessing of our God and the preaching of His word. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, self-denial and delayed gratification used to be considered a virtue here in the United States, but today it is almost considered a vice. Previous generations would sacrifice their comfort in order to secure a benefit, a blessing for their children in the next generation, where now parents enslave their own children with their debts. Even the commercials that we see on the TV say something like this: "Have it your way because you rule. Go ahead, indulge. Don't deny yourself anything. You deserve it. Partake of everything." That is what our society tells us. But the Bible describes the life of a Christian as significantly different than that. The Bible says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." Or even as Jesus said, "Deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me." Deny yourself. Well, today as we return to the Sermon on the Mount, we find the third area of Christian piety that Jesus Christ sets before us. And this is the third area that would be very well known to the Jewish first readers. Jesus is warning us against practicing our righteousness before men. Don't put your faith into practice so that people can see you. Don't put your life on display in order to get praise from other people. The heart, your motivation, is not to be one where you're going through the motions, doing things in order to people to give you praise or adoration. Rather, your heart is being moved by devotion to the Lord and seeking praise and glory to Him. A few weeks ago, we looked at how this applies to charity. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing when it comes to giving in the context of the kingdom. Don't be so flamboyant so that people can see your giving and then praise you. Rather, your giving is to be secret so that God would reward you. Last week, we looked at how this applies to our prayer life. When it comes to praying, don't pray, don't stand on the street corners, don't pray in such long-winded prayer or very verbose prayers in order to have people hear you and see you, because if you do that, people will praise you and that's your reward. Rather, go into the secret inner place of your house. Pray to the God who is in these secret places, and the Lord will reward you. So today we come to the third of these piety actions, these actions of the Christian faith, and it is fasting. So today we are going to consider this theme. Jesus Christ warns His people against fasting for the sake of being seen by men. Beware of practicing your fasting for the praise of people. When we come to our first point, then, we might ask ourselves this question: what does it mean to fast? What is the fasting that Jesus Christ is here speaking about? Well, fasting is a spiritual discipline of denying a certain pleasure from your body. Fasting is saying no to something that God has created good, which normally can be received as a blessing, something that is created good, but you are denying it for the purpose of growing in holiness, growing closer to God, growing in your piety. It is safe to say that our culture is known for indulgence, not for self-denial. We have learned from our society to give in and partake, that we're to never deny ourselves anything, to say no to anything. If you want it, if you feel like it, go ahead and do it. It's hard enough to make us wait for something, much less to say no. But when we come to verse 16, if you have your Bible still open, you will see that verse 16 says, when you fast. And again, verse 17, when you fast. Notice here that Jesus is assuming God's people will fast. He says here twice, when you fast. Just as he did back in 6 verse 2, when you give, when you practice your charity. And again in 6 verse 7, when you pray. So there's a parallel between charity, prayer, and fasting. When you do it. So the question I begin with is, do you do it? Do you fast? Have we fasted? If we have never fasted, why not? What is the reason that we don't practice? Why are we so dedicated to our charity and to prayer, but don't talk about fasting? Well, maybe it's that when we hear the word fasting, we think Old Testament or maybe middle-aged fasting, maybe the monks. We don't fast anymore because we're New Testament Christians. Or when we hear fasting, we may be thinking Roman Catholic fasting this time of year during Lent. But Reformed Christians, they don't fast, do they? Well, yes, actually, Reformed Christians do fast. At least they have in the past. St. Augustine, John Calvin, articles about how to fast as Christians. More present day, Derek Thomas, R.C. Sproul have articles on how Christians should fast today as Reformed Christians. But we don't really talk about this. At least I've not heard a lot of people talking about fasting. Perhaps we feel guilty because we don't fast and therefore we don't talk about it, or perhaps we're afraid of legalism, so we avoid it altogether. But here Jesus says, when you fast, when you deny yourself some certain earthly pleasures. So maybe we need to rethink our approach to fasting and recover this act of spiritual devotion and piety. So what does it mean? What is Jesus talking about when he talks about fasting? Well, fasting in the most narrow sense is to deny yourself food. But more broadly, fasting can be applied to a whole host of earthly gifts. Fasting is to say no to yourself. Fasting is to see a gift that God has given to us, a gift that can normally be received with thanksgiving, that's sanctified through prayer. It's a good gift that God gives that could be normally enjoyed. And to fast is to say, I will not partake of that enjoyment for a time. We put off something good or to refuse to partake of some blessing or even some earthly necessity. In the Bible, when you hear fasting, most of the time it applies to food. Paul puts it like this in 1 Corinthians 6. The stomach is made for food and the food is made for the stomach, but both have an end. So when you decide to fast when it comes to food, perhaps you decide to withhold a feast, withhold feasting from yourself. You have just a very simple diet of just bread and water. Or perhaps you might decide to skip a meal or go an entire day without eating. That is fasting when it comes to food. But there are other kinds of ways in which God's people have fasted. You can fast when you decide to withhold partaking of some technology or entertainment. We can fast by denying ourselves something that we normally enjoy and perhaps something that takes up a lot of our daily time. So perhaps you can fast by saying, I am going to go this day without picking up my phone, or without watching TV, or without watching any movies. Some people have what is called a no-screen Sunday. I'm fasting from this realm of entertainment. in order to spend time in prayer and scripture reading. I'm going to fast from embarking. Now, there's nothing wrong with a phone. You can have your phone and you can watch TV. But I'm going to deny myself this for the purpose of pursuing spiritual piety. Interestingly, in Daniel chapter 6 is where King Darius has just seen Daniel thrown into the lion's den. And Daniel 6 says, King Darius refused all entertainment. He spent the night fasting with no diversions, and sleep fled from his eyes. So here, King Darius fast in food, fast in entertainment, and fasted from sleep in order to spend his time in devotion. There's another area in which fasting can take place. That's found in the realm of the marriage bed. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 5 says that couples, husband and wife together, can decide to refrain from marital intimacy for a time. Now, to be clear, this is mutually agreed upon, and it is limited in duration. Paul says there are dangers, there's warnings connected with this. You don't want to go too long because then you're opening the door to temptation. But Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 5, you can abstain from marital intimacy where you both agree on this for the expressed purpose of devoting yourself to prayer. It's another form of fasting. You can also abstain from wine or alcohol. That's another area of fasting. Something God gives you for gladdening the heart is usually to be received for with joy and thanksgiving, but you may decide not to partake of that for a particular time. So as you can see, there are various forms, various ways in which you can practice your fasting, but fasting is a self-imposed denial. It's saying no to something that God has made good for the purpose of growing closer to God. So when it comes to fasting, we are denying ourselves something that is good. Christians are not ascetic. We are not saying that everything that is spiritual is good and everything that is bodily or physical is bad. That's not what we're saying. No, we find in Acts 13, verse 2, an example in the New Testament church of fasting. And I want to read this with you. If you want to turn your Bibles, this instructive passage here in Acts chapter 13, just a few verses. Acts 13, the first three verses here. So there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who is called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Here's our focus. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then, after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. So why would it be that the New Testament church would be fasting? Well, here we see a direct connection between a fasting and worship. Fasting and worship. Fasting is a spiritual discipline. It is accompanied by prayer and worship. So in other words, fasting in the spiritual realm is not where you say, "Oh, I want to lose some weight, so I'm not going to eat this kind of food." It is not for a physical benefit, but it is for a spiritual benefit. It is to give you spiritual direction and focus. Well, what are some reasons why you might decide to fast? Well, one of the reasons we find here in Acts 13 is that there is an important decision that needs to be made, not only individually or as a family, but even as a church. An important decision needs to be made, and they're crying out to God for spiritual direction and wisdom. So after worship, prayer, and fasting, Paul and Barnabas are set apart and sent out on their missionary journey. So a great time of decisions need to be made, and the church dedicates themselves to prayer, worship, and fasting. Another reason why you might feel led to fast would be a time of great sorrow or a time of humiliation. We find this in the city of Nineveh. After Jonah has been preaching, the whole city, from the king all the way down to the animals, are fasting as they cover themselves in dust and sackcloth. A third reason why you might decide to fast would be to discipline your body and grow closer to the Lord. Not only in times of great uncertainty or great sorrow, but in order to grow in holiness and grace. Fasting awakens within you the desire for something better. It's to focus your eyes on a better future, or to even awaken within you the desire for something better that is coming. And this is where we bring back to mind what we read in Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, that was what we read earlier. Jesus said, this was to John's disciples, how can my disciples fast when the bridegroom is here? But the bridegroom will be taken away, and then my disciples will fast. So why would the disciples of Jesus Christ fast? That's because the bridegroom wasn't there. One of the reasons we can fast is because we know Jesus is not here. And we long, we desire, fasting creates within us a desire for Jesus to come back, to be where Jesus is. Fasting focuses our attention on the future. So today, after the ascension, Jesus Christ is not now earthly present. Yes, he is present by his Spirit, but he is not now earthly present. The bridegroom is away. Jesus is not here. So this time of separation between the body, the church, and the head, the bridegroom, Jesus Christ, fills the church with longing, with even sorrow, because we want to be where he is, or we want him to be where we are. So we draw closer to him. We have sorrow over his current absence. So this is another reason why we can fast, is to focus our hearts, our devotion on Christ and desire to be where he is. Now, to be clear, this fasting is not something that is imposed upon you. There's no law in the New Testament that says, as a Christian, you must fast at these times. Rather, it is a spiritual discipline that is self-imposed. You are learning to discipline your own body and to master your own desires. Paul puts it like this in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 27. Keeping my own body under control to discipline myself that I am not disqualified. So fasting is an act of faith where we remind ourselves of certain spiritual truths. One of the truths is this, Matthew 4, verse 4. Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. Do you believe that you don't live on bread alone? Fasting reminds you of this, that you don't live on earthly bread, but on spiritual bread. And again, Matthew 5, verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. So that's some of the reasons why we might fast, godly, good reasons why we might be moved to have this self-discipline and to say no to some earthly pleasure that the Lord has granted unto us. But in our second point, we are going to see that there are various reasons not to fast, or wrong motivations for our fasting. And that's the warning that Jesus gives us, particularly in our text here in Matthew. Why, or what are some reasons, are warnings that Jesus gives us when it comes to our fasting? Well, the first wrong reason to fast is in order to impress God, or to try to gain something by God. This self-denial in order to try to twist the arm of God in order to have God give us something. You cannot impress God with your fasting. Fasting in no way replaces the cross of Christ and the justification that has been secured by his death and resurrection. There is always a danger of seeing your fasting as a merit or some form of legalism. I really want this, and in order to get this, I'm going to fast. It's almost as if we view fasting as a hunger strike in order to manipulate God into giving us something that we desire. So the first wrong motivation in fasting is in order to manipulate God, or in some form of legalism. The second wrong reason to fast, or motivation of fasting, is in order to be seen or praised by men. If you still have your Bibles open, we find this in Matthew 6, verse 16. When you fast, do not look gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces, that their fasting may be seen by others. That it may be seen by others. The Pharisees were known for fasting not only on the Day of Atonement, but on two particular days throughout the week. On these days of fasting, they would refuse to bathe, they would wear dirty old clothes, and they would cover their bodies with dust or ashes. They would go about with a dejected looks on their face so that people would see them. Their fasting was done as a show. Look at how good I am. Look at how pious I am. So they would go about and parade themselves as fasting in order to be praised by men. Their acts were but a show. So when you fast, Jesus says, don't tell everybody about it. Don't put it on display, but rather make it between you and the Lord. Perhaps we can draw, I want to be careful here, but draw a line between this and a common practice today. Children, maybe you've seen this on TV or you see this at Aldi or Walmart. You see someone walking around with a gray cross on their forehead. It's a very common practice today on Ash Wednesday to get a cross on your forehead to mark a person accompanying fasting and the beginning of Lent season. This marks the beginning of what is known as the end path of Jesus Christ before his death on Good Friday. But what is the purpose of getting an ashen cross on your forehead if not to be seen? Isn't that putting it on display? Now, I want to be clear, we can't judge the heart, but it is strange to visibly mark yourself in this way. Jesus says, don't let your external looks set you apart in this way. Fasting is not a show that you do before others. Here, Jesus is rebuking the Pharisees for their manner and for their motive in this piety, their external works in order to be seen and praised by men. So if you are fasting, Jesus says, practice personal hygiene. Change your clothes, wash your face, anoint yourself with oil, put on perfume. Do not fast in order to be seen by people. Because if you do, your praise will come from them and not from God who sees in secret. So the first reason not to fast is order to impress God. The second reason not to fast is order to impress other people. The third reason not to fast is order to impress yourself. Jesus says that with charity, right? Don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. Do not fast as a part of an ego trip, to boast in your own works, to feel good about yourself. Do not think that your fasting makes you more pious or holy than others. So Jesus Christ makes it very clear that is a bad reason, bad motivation when it comes to fasting. Or if you do that, if you fast in order to be seen by others or in order to boast in yourselves, your reward will come from men and not from God. Rather, let your fasting be a voluntary act of self-denial. When you fast, you deny yourself because you love the Lord and you want to grow closer to him and to his word. As Paul says in 1 Timothy 4, verse 8, bodily training is of some value, but godliness is of value in every way as it holds promises for the present life and the life to come. So when we fast, we are keeping our bodies in check while we seek to grow in grace and knowledge of the truth. We're disciplining our bodies with a goal of growing in holiness. To conclude, fasting in Reformed circles is not a common topic of discussion. But are you willing to set aside something from your normal consumption in order to spend more time with God, using the time that you would normally be spent doing this thing or partaking of this thing in order to devote yourself to prayer and to worship? You can test your desires in this way. We sang earlier from the Psalms that I love the Lord more than honey or gold. Do you love the Lord more than honey or gold? Do you love the Lord more than your daily bread? Cornelius Plantinga put it like this: self-indulgence is the enemy of gratitude. Self-discipline is usually its friend. A full stomach often spoils our appetite for God. So let our feasting and our fasting be done for God's glory. As our theme states, Jesus Christ warns his people against fasting for the sake of being seen by men. Fasting is a spiritual discipline where you deny the body some pleasure with the goal of growing in your holiness. So when you fast, let your fasting be seen only by your Father who sees in secret, and he will reward you. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this difficult topic that you have set before us, this difficult discipline that we are called to embark in. We do pray, O Lord, that we would have a proper understanding of what discipline is, what its use is, and the wrong way of practicing this discipline so that we would avoid doing it to be seen or to receive praise from men. We pray, O Lord, that we would dedicate ourselves, all of our living and everything we do, to growing in holiness and obedience, growing closer to you and worshiping you in all that we do, say, and think. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.